Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Scott, and I'm pleased to be joined by Jen, who is here to talk about her experience with recording and listening. Welcome, Jen.
Hi, Scott. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great.
Excellent. So thanks, Jen, for having me here. I'm excited.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you for joining us. This is great.
Yeah.
So we're talking about one of my favorite topics, which is recording and listening. And I think a lot of people know, Jen, that there, not everyone, but most people maybe know that there is a website, recordingandlistening.org, and they may even know there's these, you know, great exercises on there. There's the two-handed recording. It's under power tool. There's like 14 days of practice exercises with recording and listening. But I'll be honest, I sometimes forget there's a blog on recordingandlistening.org that's actually very inspiring. And you wrote a recent blog for the website.
That is true, yeah.
Loved how, and so I had a little tip that you did, and so I got to read it. And, you know, if you're up for it, the way you laid it out, the way you wrote essentially what you were up against and how you use recording and listening to support yourself, I just thought it was so relatable and so tangible for people. So maybe you could share your experience similar to what you wrote in the blog.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, it was just this great place of, having an opportunity, in this case, it was a chance to lead a workshop for a lot of people. And it was kind of one of those, I think it would get labeled under the like public speaking or, you know, things that conditioning really gets a lot of energy going about and that kind of stuff for a lot of people, me included, right? It was kind of that place of I had the opportunity to do this thing and I could tell that my heart was like, yes, this sounds amazing. But the voices, you know, there was a big place for the voices to really bring like stress and misery and terror and fear and, you know, the whole, all that kind of stuff that they can do anywhere, but they like to particularly do, I think, around that kind of an opportunity. And so in, you know, thank goodness for recording and listening, it just was kind of dropping in like step by step. So I kind of got to realize, whoa, you know, this is going to be miserable if, you know, if the voices are, you know, what's going on, you know, they will turn this into misery. Basically, they would take that opportunity away from me, which was something that I really wanted to do, you know, to be with these people that I love and get to lead this thing that I was really excited about, but I could see that it was going to be miserable if the voices, you know, got to talk to me about how I could screw it up and all that kind of stuff. So it dropped in like the first, I think of this as like the before, during, and after recording and listening technique, basically. But, you know, what dropped in first was like the before, like, oh, I need to be listening, you know, constantly before this event to, you know, what's true. I really want to do this. This can be fun. I'm so excited to be with these people, and I don't care a bit about how it goes. I'm just really proud of the person who said yes and, you know, all of that. So I was making all of those recordings, which was so helpful. And then at some point, too, it was dropping in like, oh, this is kind of a longer event, and there was a break. And I saw like, ooh, at the break, I could be really vulnerable to the voices coming in like, oh, you're doing a bad job or, you know, whatever the voices would want to do. So then it was like, oh, okay, during, you know, when there's that break, you know, I got to have the earbud in to just remind the person, yep, have fun, trust life, you can't do it wrong, just proud of you that you're doing it, doesn't matter how it goes, like, you know, all those encouragements that I needed to hear. And then the after part dropped in too, seeing again, like, ooh, I'm going to be really vulnerable after this ends. Like sometimes an experience like that, you know, maybe the presence, you know, the life energy is there kind of through the event or the thing, whatever it is. And then afterward, when it's over, boy, have I had the experience of the voices just coming in to just tell me, you know, everything that I screwed up and chew me up and right? All of that. So then I was like, oh, I need an after recording. So I need it actually be, you know, before the event, because I realized, like, I don't want to wait until after to, you know, try to sit down and record. I realized I would be vulnerable too. So all of these recordings I made, like, well before the event. It was kind of funny and fun to make, like, especially the after, because I realized, like, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter the content of, like, you know, how it goes. Like, I could make that after recording of just, you know, yeah, so proud of you that you did this. And now, you know, the great line from practice, like, no reviews, we're just going to celebrate, yep, and then we're going on to the next thing in life. So, yeah, that's basically the experience. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, wow, there's just so much in that, Jen, right? I mean, we can all relate. You know, there's that first part that you were talking about, which is something we actually want to do. You know, something heart-opening, something we signed up for. And there's this level of excitement. And then, you know, particularly around the content of public speaking, but we can kind of all throw our content in there. Right on the heels of that, the voices are just trying to shut that heart-opening experience down and turn it into a big, essentially a big feast for it. You know, as you said, just grabbing all the attention, creating a bunch of fear. And so you saw that. Because I think most of the time we're meant to just sort of, okay, I shouldn't do those things. And there's kind of, well, wait a second. We can have a different experience here. And that dropped in. I love that other piece that you said, Jen, too, that you were basically being guided step by step, I think you said, along the way. And so it dropped in when you were aware of that process. Hey, how about some support beforehand so that the attention doesn't have to be on all the fear-mongering, but instead on actually what's true. I want to do this. I'm excited for this. I just want to be with these people and facilitate whatever I'm going to facilitate. That's actually what's true. And then it's kind of like, yeah, you know, there's the encouragement, there's the support. And then I love that second piece because, you know, we don't have to leave the mentoring. You know, it's like, wait a second, there's going to be another gap here during the workshop. And so I want her to have support there as well. So here's the second recording, just that same encouragement, keeping the attention here, you're doing great. There's just no room for the attention to go to the system, to ego, to all that fear-mongering. And then again, just that point of like, well, I also know afterwards is a vulnerable time. And again, I just love that point that the mentoring can be moment by moment every way along. It's not like I do one recording and then I go back to sleep. I can stay in touch essentially with that compassionate mentoring all the way through. And just that unconditional piece of it is sort of like, how can we lose? You know, if we have somebody right there via the recording, you know, as we talk about, Jen, that 24/7, that therapist, best friend, you know, Jesus, the Buddha right there, is essentially what you're describing. What's possible for us? Instead of getting shutting down, we get to live in that heart open space. And you got to have that experience with all that support, it sounds like.
I did, yes. I mean, it was so amazing. It was one of the first, probably the first time that I really remember, because in the sort of conditioned world of things, you know, I've done public speaking or leading workshops or whatever before, and I would get kind of that conditioned feedback of, you know, it went well or something, but the experience was always like, misery, you know, like I would have gone through so much stress to kind of like white knuckle through the whole experience. And there was one experience where in another job that I had to speak to Congress actually to advocate to get funding for our organization. It was really, really terrifying for the human. And it was pre-recording and listening really before practice. And I remember, you know, I got all this feedback like, oh, great job. But it felt so awful. I mean, I had barely kind of like survived the you know, what the voices were doing to get me through that. And I actually had to take like 2 days off after that experience because I was just kind of a mess. And with this experience that we're talking about now with the mentoring every step of the way, it was like, oh my gosh, I actually had fun. Like I didn't know that was possible. Yeah. I thought maybe you could survive, yeah, like, you know, right, a quote hard experience or public speaking, but I didn't know you could actually enjoy it. And I really did. And that was like, whoa, this is amazing. So yes.
Just smiling huge again on this side, Jen. Yeah, please. I mean, we can, again, flip in anything. I mean, that's kind of what we get set up for life in general. Get through it. Survive this, yeah, and then maybe it'll be better later, or survive the hard thing, and then I can relax. And, you know, a lot of people, especially with the content of public speaking, it's like, avoid it if I can, and if I have to do it, okay. But, you know, and like you said, even if you got positive feedback, which you did, it almost can't get through because the attention, you know, was such on those voices that it just really wipes the human out. And now the attention is on that support, on that compassionate mentoring. Through the recording and listening practice, you're able to access that. And we end up in this place of, oh my gosh, not only do I not have to just get through it, I can actually have fun. I can actually enjoy anything in my life when I have that supportive process.
Revolutionary, yes.
Revolutionary. Yeah. It really is. I mean, yeah. If you tried to tell somebody, hey, you really don't have to get through it, you could actually have fun, they'd be like, yeah, right. But then you
right,
pick up
yeah.
the recorder and you do, you know, okay, fine, you go make the speech. But, you know, when we get a chance to access that relationship through the recorder and practice that mentoring, I mean, you can hear, Jen, that you've been practicing that for a while, you know, so that when you're in that kind of quote, big stakes place, that practice is available to you.
Yeah. Thanks so much for the chance to talk about it. I know I think we're at time.
We're right at the time. Is there anything else that you wanted to add before we go, Jen?
Perfect. Yeah. Well, just to say that it was really, it was lovely to be reminded of that experience and have a chance to look at that. I think what you're pointing to is the like, what's the potential for us? Because I was kind of seeing like, okay, I've used that to, you know, with these like kind of big public speaking or something, but now like, gosh, why couldn't I be doing that all the time? And I know that's what recording and listening is pointing us to always, but I kind of saw it in a new way, like, right, I can help her all the time, you know, she doesn't have to get through, and yeah, so I'm really excited to get to look at it again, and thank you for the chance to talk about it tonight.
Thank you, Jen, and that is such a big point, right? Well, gosh, if I could do that, then what else is possible? She never, as you said, she never has to be afraid again. In fact, she could have a lot of fun and enjoyment through life.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Revolutionary, like we said. Thanks so much, Scott.
Thank you. Take good care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Scott, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Lovely to hear your voice.
Yes, lovely to hear yours too.
Whoa. Welcome.
Thank you. Though, I have been hearing your voice a lot, and Ashwini's in the
more than I've been hearing
the
yours,
morning
that's
show.
For darn sure.
Probably.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Good to have you back.
I'm happy to be here, so that's good.
Good.
Yes. I have announcements here, unless you want to start in another direction.
No, I want to hear announcements.
Okay. Coming August 28th, a six-week conference call retreat in recording and listening training will teach six key skills of the recording and listening practice. We think you will find these calls to be fun, experiential, and transformative. And step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The Your Practice Retreat, September 29th through October 6th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California, provides individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for your stay. This retreat is a prerequisite for anyone considering being a first-time visiting monk. If you're already meditating in the morning or wish to start, why not enjoy the extra boost of meditating with Sangha? Virtual meditation groups are a unique way to receive the support and connection of practicing with Sangha. A full schedule of virtual groups is available on the Virtual Meditation Groups webpage. For these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
All right.
Great. And I wanted to mention something about Scott and Jen's conversation earlier.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that. And what I saw for myself was stepping into a big life opportunity that comes my way, that's offered to me, and then realizing the practice supports that I want and need to have available to support me all the way through that process. It's really valuable.
Yes. And what we had a chance to see in that for ourselves is so we step into something that ego really doesn't want us to step into. Why? Because if we do and we go through it in the way Jen was describing, then the odds are really good that we're going to look for the next thing.
Yes.
Because it's really fun to go through something like that, get to the other side, and realize how great it is. And pretty soon we realize it's kind of addictive, this just having our lives get bigger and bigger and more exciting and more exciting.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so we can see why conditioning is so resistant to it.
Oof. Yeah. Always making it seem as if somehow it's taking care of us or, you know, keeping us from making a fool of ourselves or, you know, protecting us. It's on our side. And, of course, it isn't at all. It's just trying to keep us small and in relationship to it.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some reminders for our show today. If you'd like to talk with Sherry, you can press *6 and then 1 to make guest show. And a conversation on one topic that lasts about 5 minutes is great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You ready to get started, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay. Let's go here. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael. This is Sherry in San Francisco.
Well, hello, Sherry.
Well, hello. As it turns out, I also have a little recording and listening story to share. I love this. I was listening to some really, really, really old recordings, you know, and like from 2010 or 2011, and there was a story that you, Sherry, had told, I can't remember where it was, but about the gas tank of your car. I don't know if you remember this, but you were saying that you realized what a kindness it was to keep the gas tank half full because it prevented, like, you know, this sort of urgency. It was like a kindness to the human being. It was very nice.
You don't have to worry about it.
Right. And you kind of equated that also to spiritual practice, right? That it's like we could keep our spiritual tank, you know, hopefully more than half full, but that too
at least
is
half
kindness.
Full.
At least, right. But I realized, so when I was listening, I heard this recording, and I've heard it many, many times over the years, but I realized that I had sort of just, without even thinking about it, taken that as a bit of a philosophy about, like, I always, I have an inkjet printer, and I always keep the inkjet cartridges for next time, you know, so that if they run out, it used to always be the scramble.
Keep an
extra. Yeah. And I find that in my life, I'm doing that all over the place, and I realize, like, hey, that's really thanks to recording and listening, you know, that that whoever had the you know, insight to record that all those years ago, it's had a really big influence on me. I think of it as, like, you know, that taking care of the future human, you know, the future self.
Yes. So you heard that, and you knew that it was important for you, right? And you continued to listen to it. You didn't have listen to the voices say, "Oh yeah, I know that. Yeah, I don't have to. Yeah, and we can get rid of those recordings because I got that." You kept it current in your life, and as you kept it current in your life, it changed you. So there was kind of two processes going on, right? you're keeping it current in your life, which is one process, an incredibly valuable process. And as that process is going on, you're being transformed in this we could say content way, right? As the process is transformed, the content is transformed. So
yes.
now you keep the gas tank always at least half full, and you keep the extra cartridge there, and you make sure when you finish that, whatever that is, that I just thought of a bottle of ketchup, which I'm sure is not it. But anyway, you know, when that gets low, you replace it because it's something that you like and you want to have it on hand, because that's a way of taking care of the human. It's kind of, it reminds me, you know, when you have a baby, and say the baby is eating, you know, the little jars of something, which I don't think we do anymore, but you don't let the baby run out of food and then say, oh gosh, I guess I better go to the grocery store and get some more food for the baby, right? You make sure that there's enough there so the baby is always cared for and comfortable, no matter how big the baby is.
Mm-hmm. And I love what you said about, you know, not letting conditioning, because it's, you know, somebody might hear this and think, oh, well, duh, you know, but it's actually been so profound.
Oh, yeah. Well, anybody who says duh is, first of all, either lucky or deluded. So one way or the other, because that is exactly the kind of thing that ego is constantly talking people into. I mean, people report regularly that the voices in their head won't let them get up and go to the bathroom, right? They know they need to go to the bathroom, but the voices say, well, just finish this one thing. Just do that one more. Just do that one more, right? Can't get out of the house to get wherever they're going on time because the voices say, well, just go change that load of laundry or just make that one phone call, right? So talking people into not taking care of themselves and getting into those stressful, unhappy places, that's something conditioning specializes in. So
exactly, yes.
It may be a duh, but not for me. I think it's
not
the height of wisdom.
Me either. And I was also, I mean, I think on top of this, I had a conversation with you not too long ago about appreciation. And I feel like I also want to bring that into this because it's like you had said something I never really thought about, which was like appreciating the ability to appreciate, which was just like a whoa. I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that the most recent time I heard this recording, there was just this deep appreciation. And I wanted to bring that in too, because we've been doing this recording and listening for a long time now. And these recordings have had such a profound impact. And this is just one. I mean, we're talking one recording out of Lord knows how many.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's the amount of gratitude. I was just like sort of just like, it overwhelms in a beautiful way with, wow, this is amazing.
This is amazing. It's amazing. And to bring that into conscious awareness with regularity really makes us appreciate our ability to appreciate, right? Being grateful. so it's that quote, I was just misquoting it recently, the one about the thing that so many people are really good at, is not counting their blessings. I don't know how the quote really goes, but that's the point. That's the point of it, right? And that's just it. So here we have this practice that we do, that we've been doing for years, and that it's deepening, right? With every year, it gets deeper and more expansive. And to lose sight of the transformation that has happened to us as a result of that would be tragic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, that would be an ego coup, right? And so to be appreciative of that process, to be grateful to and for the person and the circumstances that made it all possible,
You know, it's that place of, you know, of all the people in the world that this could have happened to, it happened to me. I got it. I saw the possibility and I said yes to it. That is miraculous.
Ah, that's so beautiful. And it's just inspired me. I have often thanked the person who first gave me your book, How I Became, you know, Aware of This Sangha. And I'm just thinking, time for another one. I'm going to do it tonight. Time for another appreciation to that person, because I'm sure he had no idea.
Oh, right, right. That one little app. Right? And we never know, which is the best argument in the world for, to the best of our ability, always being the kindest, most appreciative, grateful, generous people that we can possibly be. Because we never know how some little simple thing that happens as a result of our being on this earth makes a big difference for somebody else.
Yeah.
We never know.
We never know. Well,
the
like
number
you probably
of people...
didn't
know. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, you probably didn't even remember saying that little thing about the gas tank. It may not be, have been something that you realized would be have such a profound impact.
Right.
Years
right.
later. So that's, someone's still remembering it and listening.
Yeah. And I was thinking about the people walking around this earth who have been affected, have been influenced by you, by all of the different kinds of things you've done through your lifetime, and that it was a turning point for them, a real moment of presence and clarity. Of all of those, we don't have any idea.
Mm.
But to be grateful to have those opportunities. Oh, my gosh. It just kind of makes us want to be here all the time. So we don't miss any of those.
It kind of does.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry.
Yes, really grateful. Deep gusto. Thank you, Michael.
You're so welcome. Thanks for joining us, Sherry. And, Sherry, it just struck me that appreciating the ability to appreciate. And I think about our practice, and I think, well, yeah, it's a great practice. And then it's like, no, it's an amazing, this is an amazing practice. The clarity and the depth of the teachings and the myriad ways that we are supported and that I happened to bump into it somehow and said yes and have continued to say yes.
Oh,
it's all a miracle.
It's all a miracle. It really is. And all of us, each one of us, when we're allowed to consider it, can look back over our lives and see so many of those turning points. You know, if we chose to, we could tell our life story in terms of, and then I met that person who taught me about that and introduced me to that. And then I chose that. We can see that it's just like these little signposts, these little human and non-human signposts, all just guiding us right through our lives.
Yes, miraculously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have another gift here, caller, to join us. So let me bring this person on. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Jen in Rhinebeck.
Hello,
Jen. Hi. And I'm smiling because it's so true what you were just saying. Like, I found my way to this practice because somebody else, who you probably remember, made his way to the practice, you know? Like, it's so interesting how the inspiration just kind of gets passed along.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we just never know. Right?
Yeah. And you don't have to do anything specific. You just have to do the practice, you know? You just have to be inspired yourself. Like,
yes. Yeah.
Yes. Which is just such a tremendous gift.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it so is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So true. Yeah. Well, I wanted to, I feel like I'm in a little bit of a bamboozle, so I just wanted to come out it and just see what guidance I could get. So I've been looking a little bit at this process that I've identified of every time there's a sort of an impulse to want something. It's around wanting. There's an immediate smackdown from conditioning of, you know, we don't want, you know, we are happy with what we have, you know, we want what we have, and that's just it. It just stops there, you know. And so I'm starting to feel stuck in a couple of places in my life. And when I started to look at why I was feeling stuck there, this is what I'm seeing.
That would be a big player.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And then there was a conversation on the morning radio show last week. It was around the, if you want to feel happy, be happy. If you want to, you know, I can't remember the other examples, but there was, in the conversation, Ashwini made the point, like, well, if you want to make money, just go make money, and then don't expect the money to bring you happiness, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense, that I follow. Mm-hmm. But I think the piece is like, I don't know how to know if I want to make money. And that's not my particular content that I'm looking at. But there's, you know, I'm not even allowed to know what that other thing is that I might want.
Well, and that's the first thing that has to end.
Yeah.
Right? So it's the equivalent of when people say, you know, I'm blah, 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 blah. And then the voices tell me whatever. And I say, okay. Well, that's the first thing you have to do is stop listening to the voices.
Yeah.
So whatever is going on in our lives, we know the first thing we need to do is stop listening to the voices.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because then, it seems to me, you would be in a place of, okay, so I really want, and let's see, what do I really want? I really want... Well, I'll tell you what I really want. Japan before I die and visit the temples that I've been reading about all my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
It feels like all my life since I was 25 years old, which is a lifetime for almost anybody. But then, you know, what could come up with, well, but it's so much money, and when would I have time, and I can't be gone, all that. But if I just said, you know, What occurs to me is I would really love to go to Japan and take a little walk around to these places while I'm still able. I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then leave it right there.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, let's see what life has to offer. Right? So I've said what is so for me. And, you know, Jen, one of the interesting things about that I actually just saw when I said that is, where did that come from?
The wanting to go to Japan?
Where did that come? Could it have come from life? could I have been, receiving information rather than generating information? I mean, it just occurred to me that I would like that, that's something that I want. Okay, so maybe this is coming from life. So maybe life has a little idea about how this might then come to fruition. Does that fit at all with what you're looking at?
It does. It does. And in fact, it's a practice that I feel like I've been able to do with practice things in recent years. You know, I'll think, you know, it'll occur to me. The big good example is a couple of years ago when I did the precepts retreat, I didn't understand the precept around restraint, you know, coming from a background of you know, binging and restraining around food. I just felt like restraint was a really bad thing, and I didn't understand it. And so
only
I just quit out
by binging.
Only equaled by binging, exactly. And so I just put it out there, just floated it and said, okay, I don't get this. And so I'm open to understanding, you know, what this means. And literally, as soon as I left, I think I've told this story before, as soon as I left retreat, I was staying at an Airbnb closer to San Francisco. I pulled a book off the shelf. It was the I Ching. I opened it up to, you know, a random page, and the first line was about restraint.
Oh, well, there it is, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. And it was like, oh, this is, that's how this works.
Yeah.
You know, it was fabulous. The line was, restraint begins with giving up your own ideas.
Yeah.
And so, and ever since then,
why do we think we have to understand anything? So ever since then,
it's been, you know, I play with that with different things in practice that I come up against, and I don't, you know, there's no understanding or no insight, or it hasn't unfolded for me yet or whatever. I just kind of float it and leave it with life, and then stuff starts showing up. So that works for these sort of big ideas like happiness and restraint and, you know, things like that. But I haven't figured out I haven't seen how to translate that into, like, you know, I think I want a house. I think I would like to own a house, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And every time I even dance around that, it's like, wow, there's so much conditioning that comes up. I can't even tell if the impulse to want a house is real or if it's just conditioning, you know, firing it up because it knows this whole chain of things will unfold.
So that is interesting, that there are some things that are called practice things.
Yes.
And then, right? And then there are these other things that are not practice things.
Right.
And that might be helpful to drop right there.
Yeah.
That it's all the same thing. I want to go on retreat. I want a house. And then to let life work out the details. You know, everybody's probably favorite quote on this, you know, Jesus said it best, ask and you'll receive.
Mm-hmm.
So if what we're asking for is not receiving, then we will not receive.
Sorry, there's a car driving by.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's right. So cliche of be careful what you ask for. I think so much of the time what happens to folks is not knowing what's being asked for in exactly the way that you've described. You know, there's only these things can be asked for, and there isn't the realization that that means everything else is being asked not for.
Not asked for.
So I'm asking for these things because this is okay for me to have. This
right.
Little, I'm
these
holding
are
my hands up in a little circle. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
I can ask for those because I could have those. But that puts everything else in a I can't have those. So that's what I'm asking not to have. And as soon as we bring conscious awareness to it, of course, it's no. Wait a minute. I don't want to do that. But it is what we're doing.
Yes, because I do recognize that I have the life I want. You know, it's all so far unfolded because either consciously or unconsciously, I've asked for things.
Yes.
To be this way. Yeah.
Yes.
I've ignored it and or not been aware of it and haven't asked for it, and that's why it maybe it's not here, or maybe something is here, but
Yeah, fun to play with. And it takes us to the other Jen at the before the show started, to the good news. There's also the saying yes to what we did not ask for, but just appeared.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm given an opportunity for something, and the voices go, no, you don't want to do that. That's not you. You don't like that. That's not. If I say no, then that's what I've asked for. Mm-hmm. But if I say yes, then I'm asking to receive not only what I'm asking to receive, but that I'm asking to receive everything that life is giving me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So much like widening the circle of compassions is like making a bigger yes.
Yes. Yes. And taking me out of the equation. I really don't have to have an opinion about this. So it's just life, whatever, I'm a yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever direction, whatever I'm giving, whatever. Now, these are some of the things that I think I want,
mm-hmm.
and I'm open to input here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, in that way that the person thinks, you know, all I want is to get married. If I were married, I would be happy. If I were married, I would be happy. And they get married, and they're not happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's that kind of, you know, whatever is it, the highest good. Is that what the kind of the prayer people say? You know,
right.
So whatever that is, this is what I want. I'm open to guidance about this, though.
Mm-hmm. And then that's it. I guess that's the next piece that I think that being open to guidance and just kind of looking for it. In a way,
yes.
You know, like I was looking for the information on restraint, you know, or, you know, more on restraint, because I can find sometimes I'll ask, but then I'll become so passive that unless like life drops
so
a house in my yard.
House. Right.
Exactly. Nothing's going to happen.
Right, yeah. Which is really good to see, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's the, you know, but do you want this or not? So you got an education because you went to school, right? In that same, you know, Saul and the winning the lottery, you know, as the voice of God booms down, Saul, meet me halfway, buy a ticket. That's it, right? So we want this,
mm-hmm.
and we still have to show up and do our part to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then see what happens.
Yeah.
Let it be a workshop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excellent.
All right.
Thank you very
Good.
Much.
Fun.
Thank you, Jen. And I'm sorry I'm not going to see you in Pennsylvania soon, but I am.
I know.
I'm going to see you at the monastery in October. So.
I know. We can't all be everywhere all the time, can we?
That's right. Even if we want to.
Even if we want to, it doesn't seem possible.
All right.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you.
Go happy.
Go very happy, yes.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. That was a fun conversation, Sherry. And I got the sense of really sensing sort of what life wants for me in relation to what I
uh-huh.
want. It's kind of hard even to talk about it, but to get the feedback and the guidance from life in whatever form that takes, as long as I'm open to it, I'll be more able to receive that.
Yes. And, you know, with that, one other thing that seems to me is that we are so conditioned to be in a child position to conditioning.
Mm.
So
yeah.
kind of, there's no real sense of equality with life. Do you know what I mean?
Can you say some more?
That we're conditioned to beseech or be supplicants, if these are words pointing in the right direction, you know, to kind of crawl in on our hands and knees begging,
yes.
not as equal partners with life in life, as if we really are created creatures who are less than rather than expressions of the very life that is animating us. And so why would life not want for us whatever it is that we want to be with life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So
exactly.
to know what it is that you want, and then to come at that again as an equal partner, putting that out.
Yes.
And then seeing what happens and what is the feedback you get. And well, yes, but I think that it would be really important for me or really good for me. I see the benefit in it. You know, so sometimes that sense of, yeah, but do you really want this? Or as Jen was saying, you know, well, yeah, I want it. And then to just fall over in a passivity that that basically says, yes, I want this, but life, it's up to you. You have to make it happen for me because I feel unworthy or I'm afraid or I'm unequal to the task or whatever
yes.
it is that's going on. But can we really step up and say, no, I think this is, this feels like what I'm being guided to, is it? Because I want to go in this direction.
Yeah, exactly. I got the sense mm-hmm. as you were talking is finding that middle ground between being a sort of less than supplicant and then on the other side being an arrogant, entitled.
Yes.
And then finding in between there what life
yes.
is telling you.
Yeah. I want to be everything that is possible for me to be. I want to be the best contribution to life that I can be. What is that? And what does that entail?
Wow. Wow, that's big. That is
yeah.
big.
It really is. Yeah. Grown-up
sure.
stuff.
Grown-up stuff. A lot mm-hmm. for me to consider as we listen to our break here. We're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Pasha.
Hello,
hi, Pasha.
Wow, what a luck. I'm so thrilled.
So happy to be here.
Yes. And so happy to be surrounded by practice. And I was just yesterday at a group in San Francisco sharing that I'm so grateful and amazed how practice holds me everywhere. I'm in a group, and on Sunday, was it Saturday or was it Sunday, I was at the center in Mountain View.
Yeah.
And a week ago, I was a visiting monk at the monastery.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing how...
And now here we are talking tonight.
Yes. How
and
practice,
we were together this morning.
Yes. And I was in the queue this morning, and I was noticing this morning that I am practicing with the show, listening attentively. I am present to what is being said. I feel like I'm immersed and participating. It helps me to catch when I am have a show running and doing other things, and I see my attention is grabbed by conditioning and shoved into something else.
Well, I project that's the result of years of practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because when we first start practicing awareness, you know, we're really, let's face it, we're lucky if we can be here, you know, 1 minute out of an hour or 30 mm-hmm. seconds out of an hour, right? I mean, we're mm-hmm. sort of here, we sort, you know, but it takes some practice to get to that point where now you can listen to something like the morning show and know that you're right there present with the conversation, aware that you're right there present with the conversation.
Yes, aware and amazed how I'm present and how it's possible to be present and how that immerse, includes, and frees me from any problems. Because
yes.
there is no space left when I am fully in. There is no space left for anything else, for conditioning to wedge in.
Isn't that astounding? So
yes,
that is
so amazing.
It is amazing. So it's twofold. So not only are you there, here, and present, which is a joyful experience, but now, as well as that, there are no problems because when you are here and present, as you say, there's no space left over for ego to create problems, right? So your attention is not being distracted to go to that conversation in conditioned mind and get unhappy. So it's I don't even know, is it exponential? Is that what? Anyway, it's not just being here. It's being here aware that there are no problems.
Yes.
That's amazing. Yes.
It is amazing. We can be accidentally here, or we could be here for a moment, or we could be here on some kind of drugs that brings us here for a short time. But this being here is being here that our practice, and we can stay here, and in this here we also realize that that here is all we need, and that here it comes when we left that conversation. We make the step to hear from the problems land, which seems like a giant land, but when we come here, it's just like a black dot on the wall where somewhere you described that I can go and make that dot my whole world, or I can be present to this vastness of the universe that is outside of that dot, that is makes that dot is insignificant.
Yeah, that's wonderful. The world of ego, when we're conditioned mind, when it's going through its problems and things are hard and I feel so bad and I feel guilty and there's the past and the awful future and I'm not enough and there's just so much wrong with me, it's a giant, giant universe with no alternative, right? And then, as you say, we take a step from there to hear. And suddenly that what seemed like a giant universe is becomes what it actually is, an insignificant little nothing. Mm-hmm. And what we're living in is a vast eternity of life, of well-being, of presence, this here now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, isn't that a good deal?
Flips it right in. It's such a good deal. It's, I mean, I wish I had better words for, but I'm sure everybody's tracking with this, but that you don't just get one thing, you get two things, and each one is miraculous. You get the end of problems and human suffering, as well as the delight of presence to life. Yes,
uh-huh.
Because you know, ending suffering would be one thing. We'd say, okay, all right, I've ended suffering. And it's like, you know, I just stepped into a bath of tapioca pudding, right? It's like, okay, well, that's boring. There's just nothing going. No, that's not it. When the suffering ends, what we step into is delight, happiness, gratitude, appreciation, fun, excitement, adventure.
Yes. And that was my kind of the beginning of practice is desire to have a break in suffering. There is desire to have some kind of a remedy that ease the suffering. There is a desire to have like even short term kind of opening in that. Nightmare, but what we get instead of that is so huge. It's like when I go to a visiting monk program for months. You can think it's like having a break for a month, but that month is. I'm not afraid to say it's bigger sometimes than other 11 months in between, because in that month, like what that was a quote of the king who said he lived only 19 days, out of his life. I lived more than that already, and I feel more possibilities are opening up. And I'm so grateful to receive the things that I didn't even ask for and I didn't even hope for to get are coming here. That's what's amazing. And I'm so grateful for this practice, and I want to support this practice, and I want this practice to be available for people. And I feel like at this point, how can I be more available and helpful, and because the gift I received is I'll never be able to repay.
Yeah. Yep. I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. And that, you know what? That's a burden, as far as I can tell, we just have to live with. We know that we have received more than we will ever be able to repay. And that I think that's why we just have to live the rest of our lives in that level of gratitude.
Yes. Deep gratitude.
Mm-hmm. And to you, Pasha. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Pasha. Wow, I'm about to explode with gratitude and appreciation, Sharon.
Yeah, well, that was so amazing what he was describing, because it's my experience too, and probably a lot of people, you know, you think you're going to get a little respite from hell, and in fact, you find yourself in heaven. And it's like, how did that happen?
yes.
Yeah.
One of those mysteries of Zen.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry, we have time, at least time for one more call.
All right.
Okay. Next caller, you are live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Marianne from Canada.
Hello, Marianne.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Mike. Oh, Michael. I am grinning, listening to Pasha and his passion for practice. And it's kind of the charge I need to get me out of my undulation today.
Uh-huh. Are you on the doldrum side of your undulations?
I'm on the doldrum side. It could be all the smoke that's in the air makes it feel like it's the end of the world today.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Marianne, is this coming across the border from
Well,
here,
I think,
or have you got something going there?
Oh, I think we have like 500 fires going, so it's
in British Columbia.
Yes, there's fires all over the place, and so our
oh my God,
sky is white, the sea is white, and I can feel the effect of the particulate on my voice, even just talking to you.
Yeah, us too. We're just now getting to the point that we can see, see the views that we are used to seeing. We've just been looking out and seeing nothing but white in the smoke in the air. So we are in solidarity with you. I had no idea there was anything so close to you, though.
Yeah, well, I think, our interior of the province has been very smoky, or there's been a lot of fires. And so it seems to happen every summer now that there's a period where...
Well, that's what they're saying. This is our reality now.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which is a reason to practice.
Yeah. Yeah. As if our whole world is on fire, huh?
Yes.
Forget our own personal hair.
Yes. Yeah, and to be grateful that we have a practice, because so many people don't, and despair and turn to other things that are not helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So
anyway,
does it feel like this is situational, or is this conditioning taking advantage of a moment?
Well, I think it's the conditioning just takes advantage of the situation, and because I wasn't so caught this morning. I did a beautiful picture of drawing what the parts of myself that I like, that I, Eagle, likes the least, and I loved it. I thought it was. You know, this is, if you let life live, it's like that when you draw. If you just let your arm go, and it will show you. So I have a figure with I have all these arms coming out to reach for, to grasp, or to push away. And I just thought, well, that's so right on. If I'd thought about it, I couldn't have come up with something so good.
Right. Well, it's like Jen talking about the book basically falls off the shelf and opens to a page, and oh, there it is. So when we just open up and let ourselves be led, we get the information we need, don't we?
We do, and we get the amazement that is a substitute for all of the suffering.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, what a good point. Those are really the same energy, aren't they? I mean,
yes.
one is flowing and one is constricted, but the energy is the same. Either we're in wonder or depression.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking of the lovely ad that you played, which is turning ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just what we're all trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, and when we're present, it's what we realize is happening, right?
Yeah.
They are ordinary days. We sometimes when you're just breathing smoke, we wish days could be a little more ordinary than that. And we can, by failing to realize how extraordinary an ordinary day is, we can miss the fact that this is an extraordinary life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I feel very grateful for all your guidance and all of the contributions of Sangha. You know, just what another caller was saying, that, you know, you don't know when you're on the radio show how you are impacting other people who go, oh
yes.
My gosh, they're just saying what I feel. Oh, or I feel inspired by what they said. Or,
mm-hmm.
You know, the mm-hmm. the Sangha really is such, it's like this multifaceted jewel that just reflects all these wonderful things that you can take into your heart.
Yes, yes, it's that, again, exponential, right? So there's one person trying to make their way through life with as much conscious awareness as possible, you know, and then they're joined by another person who's doing the same thing. And it's more than two now.
Yeah.
Right? You can feel how it's more than two, and then a third joins. And now here we are with, God knows, hundreds, thousands of us. And for all those who participate and share and come forward and speak, it's just what we're able to receive as a group is just, I don't know what, I'm not a mathematician, so I don't know how to express that, but it's just growing and growing and growing and growing because there are so many people having experiences for all of us.
I think it's Indra's net.
Yes, I think so. I think you're right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. Everything reflecting off of everything. Yeah.
And so, I used to not phone in or put myself in the queue even because I didn't have anything to say. And and I know.
Aren't you glad those days are over?
And I know that that is such an ego position.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah, it's the most. It's the most egocentric thing in the world, isn't it? To be to allow ego to let us believe that we are special in that way, that we are special because we're the worst, we're bad, we're unworthy, we have nothing to offer, and that's supposed to be humble or self-effacing or true, when actually it's just ego exerting its will.
Yes, and this is,
yeah.
When you just get on the show and just start talking, life just tells you, okay, this is mm-hmm. this is what you can
yeah.
say, and
yeah,
you can always say I am grateful.
That's right, because that's always true, huh?
Right.
That's the one thing we know is always true. All right. Well, thank you so much.
And, thank you, Sherry.
Yeah, take care of yourself. Get a yeah. We do the damp. You know the bandanas like the bad guys in the West would wear.
Oh.
Get one of those and get it wet, and it can help a little bit with keeping some of that stuff out of your nose and mouth. Anyway.
Well, thank you for that
yeah.
tip.
All
thank
right.
Thank you so much,
take
everybody.
Care. Thanks. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Marianne. And Sherry, you and Marianne have brought us right to the top of the hour. And it's
right
been a fabulous
time.
Show.
Yeah. Wow.
Amazing.
Thank
amazing.
You so much, Michael.
Thank you. It was great. I loved it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Take good care. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
See you soon.
Talk to you soon.
I'll see you soon.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Sherry.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good night.